Hey everybody, welcome back to a Christmas spectacular here. Just kind of like Halloween, we released two episodes, and we got a good one for you. But I want to tell you about some of the sponsors real quick before we begin. Are you waking up with back pain? 50% of Americans are. Sleep Ovation's new mattresses, 700 tiny mattresses that individually cradle natural curves of your spine. This provides perfect comfort and spine support for back pain relief and the best damn sleep in your life. If you pre-order yours now at sleepovation.com and use the show code VERBAL, you get $100 off. Go check out Sleep Ovation. The mattresses are awesome. We just got one. It is fantastic. I'm not going back to anything else. That is Sleep Ovation. Now, Susan Robb is a woman that helps sponsor this podcast, and she's working with Kim Ward and Paul Templer for the Nepal Outreach Program. So basically, their goal is to raise $25,000 through individual and corporate sponsorships. They already raised over $5,000 to put 15 kids into school and supply 17 ladies and moms with sewing supplies to start a business in an effort to sell these really beautiful quilts that they make. They already sold 10 quilts, and they've been shipped to 5 different countries all around the world. Kim Ward, the executive director of the Templer Foundation, is a not-for-profit 501c3. They want to secure a house for the first 15 and enroll all 17 kids in school this year. The first $3,500 raised so far is going towards the tuition. Okay, so they're off to a good start, and they want to help sustain the sewing program, and the Templer Foundation helped start it this July. Kim and Susan are working tirelessly. So if you are interested in donating and being part of good cause, especially around the holidays here, look for the GoFundMe, the Nepal Outreach Program, or donate through Twitter at Kim Marie Ward or M Susan Robb, R-O-B-B. So it's just a really good cause, and we're proud to be working with them. Now, we happen to have two brewery sponsors on the podcast. One of them happens to be Demented Brewing, and that's located in Middlesex, New Jersey. Demented is one of the coolest places to check out as far as tasting rooms go, as far as different types of beers go. They're always releasing something new. In fact, they just released Gluttony, their coffee stout, on draft, and Siren, their berry sour aged in mead barrels, and Banshee, their sour ale aged in scotch barrels in 22-ounce bombers. This Sunday, they're going to be releasing Hometown Hero, their pills and their lager. So go get some growler fills for Christmas Eve. You can get some cool bottles as Christmas presents, stocking stuffers. It's just an awesome place to visit. That is Demented Brewing. Now, Manskirt Brewing is the other brewery that helps sponsor this podcast, and they are located in Hackettstown, New Jersey, in the old bank building. Just a really cool, spacious setup, always rotating seasonally inspired ales. Go check out Joe Fisher in his Manskirt. Grab a couple growlers to go. They got music this Saturday, the 23rd, a local band called Boy Things, 7 to 11 p.m. Their business hours are normal this week, even on Christmas Eve, so make sure you go try some fresh beer from Manskirt Brewing. Now, Trivia Revolution is a trivia company. I happen to host 4 on Wednesday nights, but they also sponsor this podcast. You can find Trivia Revolution in beer bars and breweries all over New Jersey. All right, guys, so part 2 of the Christmas Spectacular is a good one. We try to get Mike Berlow into the Christmas spirit with none other than Santa Claus. That's correct. We got Santa on the podcast. So enjoy the podcast. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, it's Santa here. I'm getting ready to have an interview on Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Everybody, it's good to see you again, Mike. 2 days in a row.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
What is this Debbie Downer thing you're going through? Like, we need some energy from
Why are you trying
from Berlow?
you're trying to get me into this whole Christmas spirit, and yeah, you know, I explained my whole ordeal, and it's kind of hard to get into it, man.
I don't know what to do. No. Anyway, welcome back, guys. I hope you tuned in yesterday. We're putting up two episodes.
Yeah.
Because Mike wasn't in the Christmas spirit, so I had to go out and change that. But yesterday, you should have listened to, or if you haven't, go back one episode and listen to the guys from the Tree Man documentary, critically acclaimed documentary. Very, very interesting. How did that not put you in the Christmas spirit?
I mean, they were good people, but at the end of the day, it didn't inspire me to be all Christmassy and stuff.
Like, if you were all Christmassy and stuff, like, what would you be?
Stuff is the key thing.
What would you be doing?
I would probably be walking around the malls, looking at all the Christmas spirit, thinking
looking
about
looking at the Christmas spirit. Just, like, observing people, items.
Well, a lot of times when I shop, that's what I kind of do. Like, we kind of talked about it before where you go online or whatever. I will go into different stores or malls and just kind of look around and something will just pop up and go, oh, I think that would work great for whomever. And then.
So when you're like creepily walking in Lane Bryant all day long, they're like, are you going to buy a dress or.
I don't spend the entire day there, maybe a quarter of the day.
You know, the Hot Topic is another quarter. They're like, sir, you're still in Hot Topic.
Yeah,
you're not our demographic.
I'm pretty sure I'm in your age range. I'm pretty sure.
So does anything put you in the Christmas spirit? Are there movies that you like around the holidays?
I would probably, I mean, ranking Christmas movies, I guess I'd put Elf as number one.
Elf was pretty up. We watched it the other day.
Yeah, Christmas Story would be number two.
No, Christmas Story is one for me.
Yeah.
Well, other than that atrocious. Did you tune into that live Christmas Story last night?
I did not. Woo! We were watching other stuff.
Alex was watching. She's like, it's pretty good. I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
It was a musical, right?
Yeah, it was horrible.
What was it? Just like, you got your tongue stuck to a flagpole.
Exactly like that. Ralphie's gonna save us. Ralphie's gonna save us. Ralphie's gonna save us tonight. Like, it was just atrocious.
I would like to rack, like a rock band. I'm just something like, Daddy gonna kill Ralphie.
A year ago, we had,
Ralphie from Christmas
Story. No, we didn't have Ralphie.
No.
I want Ralphie.
Mm-hmm.
We had his brother.
Brother. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of his name. Randy from the story, but I'm trying to think of his actual name.
Give me one sec. I'm on our guess. That would be Ian Petrella.
Yeah, Ian Petrella. So a year ago, we had Ian Petrella, who was Randy from Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
So the movies don't get you going, like the gift-giving, buying gifts for your loved ones. Nothing gets you in the Christmas spirit.
Well, when I am more secure and I'm able to do some of these
activities. About your sexuality? It's really not a big deal, dude.
I understand that, but I'll eventually figure it out one of these days.
Now, for our new listeners, which is all of them.
Pretty much.
Every week a listen is a new listen. That's the way we got to look at it. But
hi, world.
you had an interesting childhood when it came to Christmas songs.
Yeah, my mother had one of those old school stereo systems, which came in. You had the huge speakers. You had two of them. You had the huge cabinet full with every single possibility of what you can play: cassette player, record player, CD player, items like that, and. My mom was so ultra Christmassy from the day after Halloween until the
Halloween. So early.
Yeah, till the week after New Year's.
Skipping Halloween, like skipping Thanksgiving, it's just like, without the holiday, it doesn't matter.
In her eyes, she didn't skip Thanksgiving. It's just she was getting ultra prepped.
Now, why do you think that is? Have you ever thought, like, why was she so into the Christmas music? Was Christmas, like, a big part of her childhood?
Oh, she just likes the spirit. Because we used to have huge family get-togethers, like my brother and his family, my sister and her family, my Ten Finger Frank and his family. They would all be there. We'd have like 25, 30 people at
I love
our
that
house.
You say Ten Finger Frank. Like everyone's like, oh, yeah, yeah. That's, oh, a normal, yeah. That's a normal sentence.
Oh, that's a callback.
That's a normal sentence. Yeah. Who the hell was Ten Finger Frank?
That was my Uncle Frank, who was famous at 4th of July for lighting firecrackers in his hand and let them pop off, like scaring all of us. He's like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And the joke was we gave him the nickname Ten Finger Frank on the premise of, okay, he's going to get a nickname one of these years, yep. A new one.
They never got it, though.
We were pleasantly shocked by that.
You have a very good uncle list. You have your one-legged gay uncle.
One-legged gay uncle.
Yeah.
Ten Finger Frank. They were brothers.
Great comedy duo, though. Ten Finger Frank and the gay uncle.
Yeah, that who's on first thing? They were actually the originals. These assholes, Abbott and Costello, just stole it from them.
Yeah. So your mom just played Christmas carols nonstop.
Not literally.
Did you ever ask her? Did you ever say stop? You just gotta stop. Like it's driving.
Oh, there
me
was
crazy.
Constant fights like that because the one TV was in the room with the stereo. So I'm trying to watch some TV, and all I can hear is Mariah Carey or Nat King Cole.
Is there one song that drives you absolutely nuts? Like till this day, you can't really you just hate it.
Hate it. That Baby It's Cold Outside one really hits the nerves, and it's got a very rapey overtone.
Really can stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Well, Berlo, the reason I bring this up is because I wanted to go over, and you kind of touched on it. Christmas songs are great and all, but they have some weird lyrics to them in many of them. Like, first off, who is Parson Brown?
I do not know, Scott.
And the word parson, what is that like a priest? I think it's a priest or something like that.
I've heard some like Pearson as a first name, but I've never heard parson.
Is it a first name or is it a title? Like he's the parson of the neighborhood.
I would guess it's a job title. He's very specific and really enjoying stuff. Hey, it's Parson Brown!
Well, while I'm introing this, why don't you look up if you can see anything. Who is Parson Brown?
All right.
But so Christmas lyrics, sometimes they're a little dark, a little weird. I think sometimes people just throw them away because it's like, let's make a Christmas song. Like, so see who are the lyrics, like what comes out. So you got Parson Brown. Who is he?
Parson Brown is the term used to talk about a typical priest of the 18th and 19th centuries.
Oh, total creep.
Parson Brown is not an actual person, though he might have been at some time. But a figure of speech like John Doe is an unidentified male and Charlie is a watchman.
So we pretend
Parson by itself means minister.
We pretend that he's Parson. We pretend that he's a weird minister from the 1800s.
It's
a weird song right there.
Why would you want him to pretend he's a minister? What's going on in there?
Here are some creepy song lyrics from Christmas songs. So you're familiar with I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy song to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the lyrics is, I saw mommy tickle Santa Claus underneath his beard, so snowy white. Oh, what a laugh it would have been if daddy had only seen mommy kissing Santa last night.
It sounds like a weird uncle was in that costume, and it'll just kind of add to it.
So mom's committing adultery with Santa Claus, and it'd be really funny.
And she's starting off by like some kind of tickle fetish under the beard.
Yeah. So dad comes home and is like, oh my God!
What the hell? Parson Brown!
I work all year long, and this is what I come down to. Yeah, a little weird.
Tad weird.
And the kids singing about it?
Yeah. That'd be something I'd be telling, my psychologist or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Up on the Housetop. You familiar with that song?
Mm-hmm.
Click, click, click.
Click.
Down
the chimney goes on Saint Nick.
All right. So here is an excerpt from Up on the Housetop.
Okay.
Next comes the stocking of little Will. Will, capital, like a name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, just see what a glorious fill. Here is a hammer and a lot of tacks, also a ball and a whip that cracks.
Will's into some like freaky stuff there.
Will's into some like gimp stuff.
There. Yeah. Well, why is Santa providing stuff for him? You figure by rule he'd be on the naughty list. In that
yeah.
scenario.
So Santa's stuffing whips and chains into the yeah. kid's stocking.
Well, he asked for it.
Up on the housetop, guys. Yeah. Up on the housetop.
Those poor elves that are in that division that have to actually make this stuff.
Baby, it's cold outside. You're familiar.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The neighbors might think, baby, it's bad out there. Say, what's in this drink? No cabs to be had out here. I wish I knew how. Your eyes are like starlight now. To break this spell... I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell. I ought to say, no, 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 sir. Mind if I move a little closer? At least I'm going to say that I tried. What's the sense in hurting my pride? I really can't stay. Baby, don't hold out. Ah, but it's cold outside.
You figure 3/4 of the males of Hollywood could sing that song right now, and it would make a lot of sense.
It's Harvey Weinstein. Baby, it's cold outside.
Baby, don't you want the part?
The creepiest part is this. I wish I knew how to break his spell. And he's like, your eyes are like starlight now. I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell. I ought to say, no, 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 sir. Mind if I move a little closer?
Yeah, the 30s were a different time, especially with the, hey, what's in this drink?
Yeah.
That's a little extra scary there.
Yep, little Spanish fly. I feel like Spanish fly was like a normal thing back then. Santa Claus is coming to town. We all know he knows when you're sleeping.
She can't say no when she's unconscious.
He knows when you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
We three kings, okay? Myrrh is mine. It's bitter perfume. Breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in stone-cold tomb.
That sounds like something from the Krampus movie.
Krampus?
Yeah.
Krampus?
Yeah. It doesn't sound like three guys mean our Lord and Savior.
What do you mean?
It sounds like they open the barn door. It's like... somebody out there?
I mean, from We Wish You We Wish You a Merry Christmas, we want some figgy pudding. Bring it right here. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. So bring it out here.
Has anybody ever eaten figgy pudding?
No idea what figgy pudding is. I am guessing.
All right, looking it up.
I'm guessing it's like fruitcake.
Yep. Like with figs. Up Figgy Savior for some reason.
Figgy Savior?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why it went to that, but it did.
Your favorites.
All right. Figgy pudding. Thank you, Wikipedia. Is a type of Christmas pudding which was originally made with figs. Mm. Yeah, okay. It may be baked, steamed, in the oven, boiled, or fried.
Isn't in the oven baked?
Steam. Well, I don't know how that. I guess there's technically, if you put it in a pot with like water, it gets more of its cooking from the steam under it.
All right.
Figgy pudding dates back to the 16th century England. Its possible ancestors included savory puddings such as crustades.
You're making this sound so delicious. Savory pudding.
Yeah. Figgy or figgy, a pottage of mashed figs thickened with bread, creme boiled, a kind of stirred custard, and sippets, croutons. So
yet these kids are chanting, bring us figgy pudding, we want some.
Look at the picture in Wikipedia. That looks like a turd on fire.
It looks like coal.
Yeah.
Was dumped out of the stove.
I mean, like you see somewhat fruit in there somewhere, but...
Bring us figgy pudding. We want some.
It seems like more of a joke. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe you actually made it.
All right, well, you know the song Bells Will Be Ringing. Bells will be ringing. Bells will be ringing. The glad, glad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone. I have no friends.
Huh?
To wish me greetings once again.
don't know. It sounds festive, you know, when you're alone by yourself staring at that tree thinking, you know, instead of stockings, I could hang a noose right now.
How about, do they know it's Christmas? Do they know it's Christmas? Great Christmas time. Yeah. Pray for the other ones. At Christmas time, it's hard. But when you're having fun, there's a world outside your window, and it's a world of dread and fear, where the only water flowing is bitter sting of tears. And the Christmas bells that ring, there are clanging chimes of doom. Well, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you.
Now, was that song all based off, like, Africa, where, like, Mormons would go in there? It's like, no, Christianity is the only way. You gotta love Christmas.
Probably. Do they know it's Christmas after all? We want to exclude our Jewish friend. The dreidel, no. I have a little dreidel. You've heard that song. I have a little dreidel. It has a lovely body with legs so short and thin. And when he gets all tired, he drops them, and I win.
There was a lot of dropping involved around World War II.
Yeah, he's got a great body, and he's short and thin, and he drops, and I don't know.
Drops to his knees?
So proving the Jews are just as weird. Some children see him. Some children see him lily white, the baby Jesus born this night. Some children see him bronzed and brown with dark and heavy hair. Some children see him almond-eyed with skin of yellow hue. The children in each different place will see the baby Jesus' face like theirs, but bright with heavenly grace and filled with holy light.
They're fantasizing about our Lord and Savior.
I think so. It sounds
a little weird. I mean, he is pretty chiseled if you look at the whole cross scene.
Yeah, that whole hanging on the cross.
Yeah, he's got long, wavy hair. I mean, all right. Mm-hmm. You know.
All right, this is probably the creepiest one. A Kiss a Toy. A Kiss a Toy is from Santa Claus is Coming to Town. If you sit on my lap today.
Bump, bump.
A kiss a toy is the price you'll pay.
Bump, bump.
When you tell what you wish for in a whisper.
Bump, bump.
Be prepared to pay.
Uh-oh.
Again, if you sit on my lap today, a kiss a toy is the price you'll pay. When you tell what you wish for in a whisper, be prepared.
Are you sitting on Santa's lap in an old beat-up van with no windows?
This one's pretty bad. I don't even understand this one.
Mm.
So we'll go watch Santa Claus is Coming to Town and see it for yourself.
Mm. Yeah, it's some weird stuff going on there.
Is there a Christmas song that you actually do like?
The Pogues, Fairy Tales of New York.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's an awesome one.
Yeah.
Not really Christmassy, but yeah, it's pretty.
It's a great song.
Great song.
So, Burlum, I can't deal with this down, Burlews. That's why I brought you back tonight to record another episode. We got to get this out of you. We got to get you in the Christmas spirit.
I mean, do what you can, man. I mean, we're running out of time. I don't know what you can pull out of your little magic hat there, Scotty. So,
I don't have a magic hat. But
it does.
Oh, baby, the Christmas spectacular just keeps
Christmas
trucking forward and...
I thought it was a Christmas train.
The Christmas train keeps trucking forward, training forward, training. The train is running down.
Should we start over?
Down the Christmas track. Mm-hmm. It's running away.
We'll be better in 2018, everybody.
The Christmas train runs on spirits. But Burlum.
Yes.
I went ahead. I booked, I want to say, a monster Christmas guest.
The Abominable Snowman.
No. Bigger.
Bigger than Abominable Snowman?
Bigger.
Kamala?
I don't know if he's alive anymore.
Yeah. We'll have to look it up on there.
Not Kamala. When you think of Christmas, you think of this man.
Jack Singleton.
It's Jesus. Jesus is coming up.
Wow. He came back again?
That's correct.
That bro, man.
No, Mike, I got Santa coming on.
The Santa?
The Santa.
The Santa like that we
the
sit
North
on
Pole
his,
decorations we, of Santa Claus.
We sit on his lap and we tell him what we wish for and we're good children.
I don't know why you're still sitting on his lap, but
It's time to retire.
What? It's Santa. I mean, we're talking to him. He exists. He gives out toys.
Santa!
Yeah, he kind of tells me I'm naughty when I push the others out of the way to jump on his lap. You
know. Yeah, considering the others are like eight and you're
yeah,
old.
Yeah, but still, I mean.
Yeah, I got Santa coming on. So, hopefully you've been good this year.
I think so.
I don't know. You guys keep getting ran into by cars. I don't know. Something, maybe your karma's off.
Not us. We're not the ones doing it, Santa.
Well, we're going to see what Santa has to say.
Okay.
So, coming at you live from the North Pole.
They have Wi-Fi up there?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, probably just as good as the island people that we called that one time.
It must be weird for the Comcast people to go up there to fix his service.
Well, aren't you applying for an IT job there?
No. I didn't even think about that.
But without further ado, Mike, the one and only Saint Nick. Oh, my God. Is this Santa Claus?
Is this little Scotty?
Santa, it is. Santa!
It's so nice to hear from you, buddy.
This is. I told Mike he did not believe me that I had the one and only Santa Claus on the podcast.
I'm sorry, Santa. I thought you were busy.
Well, I am busy, but I always take time for my little buddies.
Oh, good.
Well, we're not so little anymore, Santa, but I hope all is well in the workshop, and you're getting ready to deliver presents throughout the world. Now, when you are getting ready for a Christmas Eve, do you ever tense up, man, or is this at this point like old hat for you? You're kind of like used to
it. Well, you know, I'm 469 years old now, and I've been doing this a few of those years, so I don't really tense up. Although I know that people that are acting on stage say that they need to be a little bit nervous so they'll be sharp. I guess that works out okay. But then I eat a few cookies and I'm back to normal.
Now, Santa, with you doing this for so long, with the technology changes, we have airplanes, we have different type of weather. Is there any kind of scenarios that you had to take into effect when you're going out and giving out gifts?
Well, yes. You know, I go out and visit people year-round, actually. Mm-hmm. But I only come in the sleigh with the reindeer on Christmas. Yeah. But I have a lot of people that I have to visit all through the year. And actually, since the elves know that I'm out and about, you know, they don't always make everything working exactly right. And I'm the one that handles all the warranty work. So I travel around the world a lot doing that. And the other thing I do is chimney inspections.
Oh,
because
side business. Oh,
I bust a few chimneys up every Christmas, I guess.
Now, Sin, I got to ask you a question. Marriage was hard for me. Marriage was hard for a lot of people. What is the secret to 400? And 60-something years of a blissful marriage, or is it a challenge?
Well, I haven't been married quite that long. I've only been married for 449 years.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's got to be way past the gold anniversary.
Yeah, the 20 years of bachelorhood. Right,
yeah, we're up to snowflake weddings now. Yeah. Well, the secret to a blissful marriage is that Mrs. Claus makes great cookies, and I love cookies more than anything else in the world, and so we stick together because of that and other things. She helps out with everything. You know, she kind of runs the North Pole when I'm not there.
Now, Sarah, there's so many kids on the earth nowadays. Do you even have time after Christmas for, like, vacation or anything for you and Mrs. Claus? Or are you always up in the North Pole making gifts, getting ready for the next Christmas?
So I thought I saw you at the Giants game.
Well, you probably did. I go to a lot of games. I'm a big game guy, you know, I love football and I love baseball and everything. I haven't quite gotten into tennis yet, but I have to move around too much for that, I guess. But vacation time, we usually go to Hawaii, actually, because it's so much different from the North Pole. You know, that's, we just kind of chill out there a little while. And chill is not exactly what we do. We warm, but we call it chill.
Now, once I know you went to a Philadelphia Eagles game, and they booed you, Santa. They booed you.
And they threw snowballs,
they
too.
They threw snowballs. Why? What is wrong with people in Philadelphia?
Well, I don't want to say anything bad about the Phillies or the Philadelphia people. I mean, you know, I have been to Philadelphia many, many times. And I find that they do have a different sort of spirit there as far as their fandom goes.
Yes,
but,
God.
You know, I know most of them are on the nice list. It's just sometimes hard to find them.
Now, Santa, you know, so many kids over the years, you've brought them so much joy. But we never really hear about the kids on the naughty list. Like, I remember, you know, when I was growing up, my mom would always tell me one year my Uncle Bob got coal. Has your tricks evolved, like what you give naughty children?
Oh, yes, it has changed a lot through the years.
What do you do, cancel their Wi-Fi for a month?
Well, no, I do not give coal out anymore. I stopped doing that a number of years ago because the carbon credits were just killing me. So we went back to switches.
And Santa, how hard was it when we started getting more technological toys to train the elves to make these different digital kind of devices like computers and Nintendos and items like that?
Oh, my. You know, we have added courses at Elf College. You know, every elf first has to be 150 years old minimum, and then they go to Elf College for about 90 years. And by that time they can become an elf first class. But because of the technology changes, we've had to add extra courses in computer management and things like that. It's just, and every year it gets more and more complicated, but we're striving to keep up. I actually have appointed several of my elves as computer czars.
Now my partner here, he's currently looking for a job in the computer. He's not quite 150, but he's on his way.
Yeah.
Could he send you a resume somehow?
Well, he doesn't need to send a resume. All he needs to do, like I tell all of the children, and he's still a child to me, remember?
To me too, Santa. To me too.
He turns 150 years old. He just needs to send me that letter. And I will come down and interview him. And after I have the interview with him, if he still wants to go to Elf College, then we'll give him an invitation. And he'll go and he gets to decide which area he wants to study in. If he wants to do computers, we have a good department for that. Or if he wants to work with the reindeer, he spends the first 30 years just cleaning out all of the reindeer stalls.
Oh, that sounds more his speed.
Yeah.
Scott, I thought it might be, judging from his record.
Yeah. Now, Scott, remind me, in 110 years, I got to get a suit when I get this interview with Santa. Just remind me of that.
Santa, one last question.
We provide elf suits.
Oh, okay, good, very good.
Santa, all these years of movies and things portraying you and showing you, Who really nailed the best Santa in television and movie? Who really got it right? Who was the best?
Well, I can't really say that anybody has got it exactly right, and that's part of the mystique. Is, you know, some of the things each one of them does is pretty good, and you can pretty well count on the fact that all of the Santas from the Hallmark Channel are not correct. There's not that much love going around.
All right, Santa, I'm gonna burst the bubble here. We are actually joined by Joseph Pridgen. Did I say that correctly?
Oh, yes. That is true.
Joseph, welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans Show. Thanks for giving us some time here. You are Santa, yes, but you are also Joseph. I contacted you recently about kind of coming on the show, and the reason I picked you, you had some really interesting descriptions on how you got into playing Santa. Now, on your description, it said for over 30 years you've been playing Santa now.
Yes, over 30 years. I can't even exactly remember when, but I know that my oldest daughter is 42, and she was 6 the first time that I put on the suit.
Wow.
So she might have been 5, actually, but sometime around that period of time I put on the suit. But I did that really just one time a year because our church needed a Santa for the Christmas program, for the Christmas party. And so they said, "Hey, you're the right stature. You got a cookie basket for a belly." And so I said, "Well, sure, I'd be happy to do it." So they loaned me a suit that one of the families had, and I put it on, and the rest is history.
Now, after the first time you did it, what kind of experiences did you have with it, which made you say, "Man, I want to continuously do this every year"?
Well, I tell you what, I did it for probably about 15 years, and then I took a little break from it because I just got tired of being called the fat guy. And so I took a break for a couple of years, and then I got sick over the Christmas holiday and New Year's, and I didn't go to work for a week. I stayed at home and stayed in bed. I didn't shave. Now, I've had a beard many different times, a nice, full, brownish, black beard. But this time, the beard started coming in sort of white and speckled gray. And I started thinking, you know, I could really put this to work for real. And so I didn't shave. And then after a couple of months of that, it was like April. No, I guess it was March. And I started looking for opportunities to become a Santa. And someone said, "Well, you ought to go to one of those Santa schools." And I thought, "School? What do they teach? How to ho, ho, ho or something like that?" And they said, "Oh, no, there's a whole lot more to it." So I went online and I signed up for a traveling school that goes all around the United States and appears. And it's actually based, well, at that time it was based out of Hollywood. And they have a guy that goes around and teaches his school all over the nation for long weekends. And so that just kind of expanded to being more and more opportunities. Now I have the opportunity of teaching schools in the Atlanta area where I live.
Now give me the course syllabus here. Like, what are some of the things we're learning at Santa school? And also, do you enter the class and kind of eyeball the other dudes in class and be like, "I'm better than this guy"? Like, you know, like, is there some competition in the class?
Well, the first year I looked at some of the guys in there and said, "Man, I want to look like that guy."
Yeah, yeah. You
know? And then there are other ones that I looked at and I said, "Well, yeah, I think I got that one beat a little bit." But, you know, it's not really a competition between Santas. We lose a lot of Santas, professional Santas, every year for many different reasons. And we gain a lot. So there's always opportunities for teaching. But as far as course syllabus goes, there's a lot to be learned. It's important for Santas to know the history of Santa Claus, because you get asked a lot of questions that kind of helps to understand that. It's also, since it's a business, there's a lot of classes, in how to run a good Santa business. How to keep track of everything and how to find work. So we teach those kind of things. And then there are aspects of being a Santa that you need to learn to be able to perform well, because we don't just go and sit on a chair. Well, some of them do. I've never worked in a mall, or a major store, because I found that it's much more lucrative to work on my own lining up appearances, and we call them gigs, through different agencies and that kind of thing, and going out and to parties, and I even do weddings. Well, wedding receptions. I'm not actually marrying anybody.
Any bachelorette parties?
Receptions and birthday parties and all that kind of stuff year-round. But mostly it's October, November, and December. So you have to learn a lot about storytelling. And I actually teach courses in storytelling in my in the schools that I teach in.
Who mostly comes to the college? Is it people interested in becoming a Santa, or is it some of these stores who want to have somebody that's a good Santa to represent them, send them over to you?
No, well, there aren't too many stores that send or malls that send them out, or companies that manage the malls. But it's individuals that they have. They are generally a little portly, they call it. And they have a, and most of them come out and have a good attitude, and they ran into it kind of like I did. And so they decided, hey, I want to see what this is about, because it is a good source of a little bit of extra income at a great time of year, you know. And most and many of us are already retired or getting ready to retire. And so they're looking for, what can I do for quite a few more years and provide that little bit of extra income and do something that I really like.
Now, the one thing that really stood out in the email you sent me, you obtained a PhD in Santa Clausology. Is this a real thing?
Well, yes, it is a real thing. That same school that I went to the first time I went and have attended quite a few years since then. If once you've attended there for in your fifth year, I think it is, then you can, if you complete the course of study for that fifth year, you are granted a PhD in Santa Clausology from that school. Now, that does not mean anything in the real world. It's a title, and it gives you some extra emphasis for your work. But, you know, it's not usable in getting a better job or anything like that. People hire Santas based upon what they look like. What their pictures look like. I believe I sent you some pictures.
You sent me a lot of good pictures.
Yeah, what they look like, and also what can they bring to my party?
Now, the other thing, the sentence after,
word of mouth.
Yeah, the sentence after that was that you are a representative for the Brotherhood, well, it used to be the Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santa. Now, is this like
the International Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santas.
Now, you guys all get together?
We're an organization of about, I think we have 1,800 Santas right now. Oof. Santas and Mrs. Clauses in our organization. And we're separated currently into six different regions and an international region. Six different regions of the United States. And I happen to be the regional representative for the Southeast United States, all the way from Virginia down to Florida and back over through Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama.
I just picture a bunch of Santas like after a workshop just getting hammered together in a bar and someone walking in like thinking they're tripping. Or there was like 30 Santas drinking, I swear.
We do our best to maintain a good Santa-like persona when we're out in public where the kids might see us. The interesting thing that you might think about is we do get together pretty much every month, somewhere in the area, in the Atlanta area, we have three major Santa groups, two of which are actually part of the IBRBS unit and one is not. And I just finished serving as the president of the one that is not, called Peachtree Santas. But we all get together, maybe about 30 to 70 Santas at a time, and we get together once and go to a buffet. Of course, that's the best way. Go to a buffet, and we have little instruction times and get together, and we have vendors selling Santa paraphernalia and things like that, and there's almost always a lot of kids there. And so we just make sure that they all know that we've heard that the real Santa is here. But we can't say which one he is. And but we do tell them that the secret to it is that they get to decide which one is the real one. And of course, they, invariably, they'll say, well, I think it's you. Oh, well, you might be right.
Now, when dealing with kids, the obvious question, what is the worst to deal with? The screaming ones, the one that wet themselves, or possibly the ones who try to be like little jerks and say, you're not the real Santa?
Or 40-year-old guys that get in line still.
I can handle the ones that try to be jerks a lot easier than I can anything else. Although we don't really have that much trouble, or at least I never have, with kids that were wet. I know some Santas that have had a problem, or they got wet while they were sitting on the lap. And most of us have lap pads that we can wear over our, you know, as we're sitting down, that match our pants. And it, just in case, although the only time I ever use mine is when I'm handling dogs or cats or snakes or things like that. I've got pictures with everything.
Now, I was thinking, you know how like I was just watching the thing on Netflix with Jim Carrey becoming Andy Kaufman in Man in the Moon, and how it basically took his life over, and like Daniel Day-Lewis, how he gets into character and he basically becomes these characters. And I could even hear it in your voice a little bit, your laughter, your chuckle. Has playing Santa bled into becoming Santa?
Well, yes, it has. Since I'm a 365-day-a-year Santa, I keep my beard on all the time, and whenever I'm out at Walmart or wherever, you know, I'm getting stopped by children, and I am Santa, you know, to them, doesn't matter. I'm traveling around and visiting all the time, and so it is a great booster of your own attitude towards life. And I had a pretty good attitude already, but it sure helps out. My vehicle that I drive around year round is a Chevy Avalanche truck that I had wrapped, and it's got my pictures plastered all over it, and cartoon Santas and my website address and all that kind of stuff.
Hey, you're talking about how it's made you have a little more of a pleasant attitude, but is there any days where you didn't get enough sleep, you're sick or something, and somebody yells like Sam, where you have to like grit your teeth and kind of like, okay, let's get into character, be good Santa?
Well, I always think if I was doing a mall, I would feel that way a lot, because those poor guys, it takes a much younger man to do a mall, because they're sitting in the chair and they don't really get up and out of it very much. And they're confined to an area for 6, 7, 8 hours a day, with maybe a break for lunch, you know, or dinner. And they're restricted as to where they can go in the mall, because the mall doesn't want them wandering around through the stores, and except for some of them do that too. And so it's a little bit, if I was doing that, I would probably every once in a while think, I just don't think I can do it today. Mm. But the good thing about what I do is I do different things every day. Some days I'm at a photo studio. Some days I'm at a Christmas party. Some days I'm at an adult Christmas party. yesterday I did a photo studio, two photo studios, one Christmas party, and I guess that's all I had yesterday. And so since you're doing different things, and with me traveling around the Atlanta area a lot, I get time to chill down as I'm going between my events. Now, and each event lasts anywhere from an hour to 4 hours.
Right. Now give us what was one of the pinnacle events, one of the most amazing things you've gotten to do as Santa?
Oh my goodness! Well, a number of years ago, we had a group, a kind of fair that came to Atlanta, called the Global Winter Wonderland, and it was the same people that produced the same thing in California, and they brought it to Atlanta. And so at Turner Field, they rented the entire parking lot and set up silk flower displays from China, communist China. There was stuff that they had used in the Beijing Olympics, and they brought that there, and they hired me to be their Santa Claus. and I actually stayed there every night from about 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock, pretty much every night of the week. And so that was a great experience. Unfortunately, it rained almost the entire time, and it was cold and windy, and they weren't expecting that, and so they actually lost money on the whole thing and didn't come back. So, but it was a great experience. I remember the day I showed up there and met the owner of the event, and he said, he was Chinese. He said, "You my Santa." And I thought, "Oh, this is great." And I had fun with it the whole time. There's been many other great experiences.
Now, with the college that you run, the courses, are there also classes for like other ones like Mrs. Claus or elves or any others associated with Santa?
Yeah, we don't usually have special classes for elves. But they can go in with the Mrs. Clauses. We have breakout sessions for the Mrs. Clauses usually, and they attend the general classes, like classes in storytelling is good for anybody, you know.
Right.
And but we have some great Mrs. Claus instructors in the Atlanta area that pull the Mrs. Clauses out and teach them other things on the care and feeding of Santa type things, you know.
Now, what about I see your pictures and the gear you got, very ornate and probably very expensive. What does like a really beautiful Santa suit go for? I'm sure the sky's the limit.
Oh, the sky is the limit. And I spent my first 3 years of being a professional Santa. I spent practically everything I made piling it back into the business because I treat it like a business. And so my Santa suit, which I bought my second year with everything that I made my first year as a professional Santa, it cost me about a little over $2,000. And then every year since then, I've supplemented or bought another suit a little bit different style or things like that. I wear most commonly what is called the Royal Robe, and it's made by a firm out in Hollywood that makes clothing for the movies, you know,
right,
and things like that. And so they make them, and a lot of the Santas buy their suits out there. And the boots that I wear, I had custom made by a shoe manufacturing company that specializes in clown shoes, and they're in Indiana or Illinois. I don't remember where it is. I've had them for quite a few years now. And those shoes, those boots alone cost me $900.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Mm. Santa's balling.
Yeah. I'm looking over the pictures. I mean, it's an amazing outfit. You got an amazing look. Everybody's going to talk about the beard, but I just got to ask, and I'm looking at the mustache, and I'm digging the handlebars. You know, you always have that Raleigh Fingers kind of handlebar mustache going.
Yes, Matt. Now, there are a lot of Santas that have curls on their mustaches, and most don't. But a lot of them do, and a lot of the ones that I know have started curling their mustaches for a reason. Whenever you got an upturn to your mustache, it makes you look more like you're smiling all the time.
Oh.
And one of the big pet peeves I have with other Santas is that they don't smile enough. And so we teach them how to make faces and smile and that kind of thing. We do it with photographs and all kinds of different ways to teach them how to be more presentable as a Santa Claus. And I started actually twirling my mustache with a much tighter twirl than anybody else I know. And I just kind of started doing that about 5 or 6 years ago, I guess. And it just kind of stuck on. It's really easy. I can do it I can do it in about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or something like that. And then I'm ready for a whole day.
Now, what is the family's reaction when you become a full-time Santa?
My own family, you mean?
Yeah, like your family or even your close friends. Is it like, did it take a while to them to be like, okay, they accept it, or are they all behind it?
You know, I got a Facebook post today from a fraternity brother of mine. I went to Georgia Tech. I studied architecture, but I tell everybody I studied toy manufacturing. And anyway, he's a fraternity brother of mine, and he's been living in Texas for quite a number of years. And he just made an announcement today that he's moving back to Atlanta, and I thought that was great. He was in my same class, school graduation class, although this guy's an absolute genius. He went out and became a professor at the University of Texas.
Wow.
I think in Austin. And now he's decided to come back to Atlanta. And so I said, welcome home. And he sent me back a message right away. I just couldn't stay away from Santa any longer. Now, I personally have four children and 13 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
And the ones that can talk, with the great-grandchildren are a little bit young, the ones that can talk call me Papa Santa.
That's great.
They know that I'm Santa. And my whole story on that was, well, I just give you a very brief part of it. I always knew my dad was Santa Claus. Oh, I suppose when I was 3 or 5, I didn't think about it. But then when I got older, I started asking them questions. And Mom and Dad finally said, my mom turned to my dad and said, Joseph, his name was Joseph, just like mine. He says, Joseph, I think it's about time you told this bright young man this family story. And I said, wow, my mom's never called me bright before. That must be something special.
Well, you got a PhD, so, for God's sake.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have a PhD. I was just a little boy. But my dad pulled me aside, and he sat me down, and he began to lay before me most wondrous stories about the family home at the North Pole. And he said, when I was your age, my dad took me to the North Pole, to the family home, and I found out there that he was Santa. So he introduced me to all my family. So I go back many, 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 many generations. I don't even remember. I think it's 27 generations back to the original wow. Santa Claus. My great, 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 great grandfather, Claus Nisile. You sound like you're absolutely dumbfounded.
That's generally the theme of the podcast. Yeah. So. Now, when you go out and you see like a Santa on a corner or something, do you ever find yourself just judging him or somewhere? It's like, nah, I wouldn't do it.
Step your game up.
I don't judge him for negativity. I judge him for positivity. Because since I'm a teacher in the Santa world, I make sure that he knows that, hey, here's some great things you can learn. Let's talk about them. If you want to come to the school, come on down, you know. It doesn't cost all that much, and you'll learn a lot, and you'll be a much better Santa for it.
John, or Santa, whatever would you like to be called, I want to thank you for giving us some time. It's really interesting to hear kind of what goes into something like this, and I'm sure you have loads of experiences that we could definitely pick your brain on. But one last question before you go. This time of year, the holidays, why do you think that Santa is just become, it's been timeless for so long, and do you still love every day doing this job?
Absolutely. Every Christmas day caps it off for me. Every Christmas day, I don't do visits to families or things like that. I take the whole morning, and I go along with about 4 or 5 of my Santa brothers. We call each other brothers. With my Santa brothers, and we go down to the local children's hospital, and we each take a floor, and we tour every room on that floor and talk with the children that couldn't be home for Christmas.
Oh.
And that makes it all worthwhile. And by that time, by the afternoon of the 25th, I'm dead. But I'm so much more in love with the opportunity. So maybe someday when the two of you get a little bit older and a little bit plumper, or even not. We're actually putting a push on now to try to have Santa's not quite as wide.
I was actually going to ask you that. Is it hard keeping up? Like, if a Santa wants to get healthy, he's kind of in a predicament.
We have a tremendous number of skinny Santas. Well, you know, if you look at Santas around the world, the Father Christmas look is a hooded skinny Santa. He's not what we think of in the United States as a Santa Claus.
Right.
But we have a lot of those guys here in the United States, and there's a big push for healthier eating that we promote in IBRBS group. We not only promote that for Santas, but for the children.
Yeah.
We have a whole section of it that we're promoting healthy eating for the children.
That's awesome. Joseph, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes here. Where can people go to check out your pictures and your work and your school? Where can they go?
Well, if they want to, they can check out my website at www.sugarhillsanta.com. That's one word, sugarhillsanta.com. And I keep that up pretty much, although I've got a lot of photos that I haven't put on there yet. It talks about the different schools that I teach in the back on one of the sections. But the primary one that I teach at that I love the most is called the Northern Lights Santa Academy, and it's here in Atlanta.
Awesome. John, thanks so much, man, and good luck, with the rest of this holiday season and whatnot.
Well, you can call me John if you want to, but my name's Joseph.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
No, I like John. I got to be honest.
That's all right. Sometimes I confuse myself.
Well, you're Santa, you're this, yeah. You're that, you know.
What's your real name?
I'm just glad I have Rudolph around here. He keeps me in line.
Berlo, the one and only Santa Joe, Santa Claus. If you're not feeling a wreath around your heart right now, I don't know what.
I don't know how he did it, but I'm looking out at the lake and all the Christmas lights, and I'm kind of smiling right now, Scott.
You are smiling ear to ear.
It's a Christmas miracle. I don't know how you did it, man, but thank you, buddy.
Anytime, man. Anytime. We at the podcast just want to wish all our listeners a safe and healthy and happy and joyous and extravagant and excellent and, all right, I'll get to the point.
Fantastic.
Fantastic holiday, Christmas. We'll be back in the new year with a ton of a new guests. We're already scheduled all the way through January. So we got a lot of different things going on. Please subscribe. Please listen. Share all that fun stuff. Merry Christmas, guys.
Yeah, enjoy Berlo, the holidays, everybody.
Berlo, anything to promote before we get out of here?
I'll give a shout out to two guys who were on our podcast before, Joel McDonald, Rich Carney, or vice versa.
Try again. Yes. Good old Joe McDonald.
Joe Carney and Rich McDonald. They just tried out for America's Got Talent, so we wish those two best of luck. But they're great guys. They're great with their improv. They put on plenty of shows. If you want to check out stuff they're doing right now, go to McDonaldandCarney.com.
Yeah, and tell Joe McDonald and Rich Shut Carney up. That we love them.
Yeah.
I guess I would promote the Verbal Shenanigans Comedy Show at Tap House 15 coming up on the 28th in a couple days. Don Jameson, the one and only, with KP Burke, Mike Ciccoli, Joe Carney. Guys,
Rich Carney, remember?
Yeah. Rich Carney, Joe Jameson. But with that, guys, have a fantastic holiday.
Yep.
Merry Christmas and life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Bye-bye.
See you in 2018.
Yes.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, say